136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel. His love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate. His love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies. His love endures forever. He gives food to every creature. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Amen.
Last week we looked at Psalm 128, one of the Psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent, the songs sung by the people of Israel as they made their way to Jerusalem for the great festivals of the Hebrew year. Today's psalm might have been a song that was sung when they got there, a song that was sung in the temple. A psalm used in their public worship there. It's sometimes called the Great Hallel or Great Hallelujah, the Great Psalm of Praise. Already in this service, we've picked up one or two of the themes of this psalm, but there are actually two main themes. And the first one is obvious. The words, "His love endures forever," appear 26 times in the psalm. It's likely that that would have been sung as a response by the people. The priest would sing a line and the people would respond. Or maybe there were two great choirs singing alternately. Many translations say his steadfast love endures forever, and some older translations use the word mercy. The Hebrew word means unfailing love, faithful love, loving kindness. It's about God's dealings with and his attitude to his people. Some scholars say that it's principally about what would be called covenant love. The love by which God has bound himself to his people. The love of the Creator God, the love of the Redeemer God. And so as the priest reminded the people of God's greatness and of the way he had acted in their history, that drew from the people this response of faith. The response that said, "We believe that God's steadfast love endures, the love that means that he is our God and we are his people, and we are bound together in a covenant which works itself out in the love of God in everything that happens to us. I read one commentary that talked about worship in the Anglican Church and the liturgy and songs that are used there. And this commentator said that this psalm is used very infrequently. He wondered why that was and suggested that people might find it quite boring, that reciting "His love endures forever" 26 times might be a bit of a turnoff. So I did wonder whether when we were reading the psalm, we might miss out some of the "His love endures forever" and whether it might be easier to grasp what the psalmist is saying if that refrain didn't come in the middle of sentences. But I actually only considered that for a moment, because the way the psalm is written with that continuous refrain is hugely significant. It underlines the relevance of the steadfast covenant love of God to every deed he does, to every situation in which his people find themselves. But there's another main theme that doesn't seem quite so obvious. The first three verses and I've forgotten to do that. The first three verses and the last verse start with the words "give thanks." But actually all the verses implicitly start that way. Four sections start with the words "to him who." But actually the sentence starts with the words from verse 3, "give thanks." So at every point in the psalm, the people are giving thanks to the God who has done all these things, giving thanks to the God whose steadfast love endures forever. Just as we have praised God because of what we know about him, because of who he is and what he has done. Praise springs from our knowledge of God and his deeds, and from gratitude for his amazing, faithful love. The psalm starts with looking at God's character and sovereignty. That's maybe hard to read. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords." This God who is being praised is good. That word "good" tells us that he is holy. He is righteous. It refers to his truth, his love, his kindness, his mercy and grace. All these attributes are included in God's goodness. He is good, and he is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. That was a hugely important thing for people who lived among nations who worshipped false gods. Of all these gods, God is God. And that's equally important for us. The nation around us is also full of false idols, full of gods that people worship. They might not be made of silver and gold, although I suspect some of them might be. But all around us in the world, people are worshipping idols, even if they don't realize it. But we worship the one who is God of gods, Lord of lords. And then from verse 4 to 9, we read that he is the creator. He alone does great wonders. He made the heavens. He spread out the earth upon the waters. He made the great lights, the sun and moon and stars. Elsewhere in Scripture, we read that the heavens declare the glory of God, and surely his earthly creation also declares his glory. In Psalm 8, we read, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." And in Psalm 104, a psalm that celebrates creation, we read, "How many are your works, O Lord, In wisdom you made them all. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. Don't you find that creation has the same effect on you as it did on the writer of this psalm? When you see a beautiful sunset or a rainbow, the view from Riverside on a nice day of the river stretching up towards Perth, the mountains as you drive up the A9, or the coast as you drive through the 5 coastal villages, doesn't that cause you to give thanks to God for his steadfast love, for the wonders he has done? For many years, Gail and I holidayed in the Alps, and in both Switzerland and Austria, you find little notices in particularly beautiful places with statements or Bible verses celebrating the God of creation. At the top of the Jungfrau, a place that you get to by a train that goes through the inside of the Eiger, just before you step out onto the viewing platform to see the Aletsch Glacier and all the mountains spread out before you, there is a notice that says, "Come and see the great works of God." At the top of the Gornergrat mountain, the classic view of the Matterhorn, my second favourite mountain, there is a plaque that quotes Psalm 150, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And just round from there at another view of the Matterhorn, one that says, "I am the creation of God's hands alone and merely his footstool." The psalmist says, "Give thanks to the Lord who alone has made the great wonders of creation. His steadfast love endures forever." Then from verse 10, the psalm moves on from God's wonders in creation to his wonders in caring for his people. The people of Israel had a great sense of history, and the Old Testament story is all about how God revealed himself through the history of the people he called to be his. So the psalm looks back to remember that the people of Israel had been in bondage in Egypt. They had been slaves, oppressed, made to do hard labor building the cities of Egypt, and badly treated. But God heard their cries of distress. He heard their prayers for rescue, and he raised up Moses to be their leader. And these verses tell the familiar story of the Exodus, the plagues and the escape from Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, and the deliverance of the people of Israel from Pharaoh and his army. The Exodus was a hugely important event for the Israelites. The Passover is still one of the key feasts in the Jewish year, and the story is retold in every Jewish household. And this is one of the psalms that they use at Passover. "Give thanks to the Lord who has done all this for us. His steadfast love endures forever." But then the people of Israel were in the desert, and God led them for 40 years with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. There were enemies there, but through the love and faithfulness of God, they were overcome. He led them into the promised land, the land that he had promised hundreds of years earlier that he would give to the descendants of Abraham. Their enemies were conquered, and the people of Israel settled into their inheritance. The familiar story tells of the redemption of Israel. This is about the covenant that God made with them. They are pledged to be his people, and he is pledged to be their God, the recipients of his steadfast love. And so they proclaim that God is the great King, the one who remembers them in their hardship and distress, the one who alone is able to save them. That's their redemption story. They give thanks for the steadfast love of God that has always been with them. We too have a redemption story. We give thanks to the God who sent his Son, Jesus, to live here on earth as a man. We give thanks to the one who died in our place, bearing our sins, who by his death set us free from the law of sin and death, who by his resurrection brought us into a new place of fellowship with God, a place where we call Almighty God our Heavenly Father. We give thanks to the Holy Spirit of God, who lives within us and helps us to live the life that he calls us to. He is our Father, our God, and our Redeemer, and to us, his steadfast love endures forever. So let's pause there. Let's stay seated as we sing the song, Such Love. The psalm changes at the end. The people have looked back with thanksgiving over their history. They've been thinking about the people who have gone before them, and now they think about themselves. God remembered us in our low estate. He freed us from our enemies. We're not sure when this psalm was written, but it was a long time after the events that are recorded and celebrated in verses 10 to 22. That was history. But as they sang the song, they gave thanks to the God who had remembered them in their troubles and freed them from their enemies. His steadfast love endures forever. Nicky Gumbel says about this psalm, "Do you ever feel under attack from powerful temptations, overwhelming fears, major anxieties, or some other form of attack?" The enemies in the Old Testament were often physical attacks, whereas in the New Testament, they are usually spiritual attacks. But the outcome is the same. God promises to rescue you from all your enemies. The psalmist gives thanks for all that God has done, and in particular, he thanks God for freeing us from our enemies. And then the psalm finishes with thanks to the God of heaven. As it began, it points to the majesty and power of God. It began by reminding us that he is the God of gods, the Lord of lords. And it finishes with the reference to the God of heaven, because this God of steadfast love is also a God of power and might. Love might not be much good to us if it was not coupled with power and authority. How often have you been vexed because someone you love was in difficulty and you were powerless to help? How many times has a situation arisen and you've thought, there's nothing I can do? That's not God. God is not only the God of steadfast love, he is also the God of heaven, The God who is mighty to save. The God who acts to care for his people. That's what they've just been singing. He has done all these miraculous things because he is a God of love and he is a God of power. If we know and have trusted Jesus, then we also have a history, a salvation history. Just like the people of Israel, we can look back at the events of our life and say over each one of them, your steadfast love endures forever. This psalm expresses what St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans, that we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Some of the history of the Israelites was hard. There were terrible times of slavery in Egypt, difficult days in the desert, hard battles to be fought to take possession of the land that was their inheritance. But through it all, they could say, his steadfast love endures forever. Not one of us would say that there aren't hard things in our personal life history. Times of trouble and stress, illness maybe, mourning and grief, concern for others, hard work and hard struggle. But in all these things, and over them and through them, has been the steadfast love of God. And in all that is to come, his steadfast love will never fail. As St. Paul said, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In his book, Knowing God, the writer J.I. Packer writes, so far as the Christian is concerned, God is love to him, holy, omnipotent love, at every moment and in every event of every day's life. Even when he cannot see the whys and wherefores of God's dealings, he knows that there is love in and behind them. He knows that the true story of his life, when known, will prove to be, as the hymn says, mercy from first to last, and he is content. And so we give thanks to the God of heaven, whose steadfast love endures forever. And so let's take a moment to be quiet. As the psalmist looked back over the story of his people, so we look back over our story. Can we also give thanks and say, your steadfast love endures forever? And in saying that, can we also look forward with trust and faith in the one whose love will remain steadfast every day of our lives? So let's be quiet for a moment.